Hello there, you yummy little scenesters, and welcome to Music Weekly from Guardian.co.uk. I'm Paul McInnes, and on this, our 100th show.
I tell you everything I know, and the little thing I know. I tell you everything I know, and the little thing I know.
We'll be talking hooks, lines and stinkers with NYC's The Virgins, and we'll have live music from them too. We've got new music from Franz Ferdinand, Hudson Mohawk and Fever Ray in Singles Club. We'll have the best of the blogs and a few weeks of Faceback, but first, it's the band of the moment, Animal Collective. That was My Girls by Animal Collective, whose ninth and latest album dropped this week to the sounds of swoons around the music-loving world. To put this mass critical faint into perspective, I turn, where else, to resident swoonologist Rosie Swash. How are you, Rosie? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I'm very well, thank you.
Good, I'm glad to hear that. So what is it about this album that seems to have brought AC into the spotlight in a way they haven't been before?
Well, there's been a lot of anticipation about it, which I don't think Animal Collective have had before. Their 2005 album, Feels, attracted a lot of attention. People were saying, oh, they're becoming a lot more pop. And then very quickly, they had out some EPs. They had out Strawberry Jam and then Water Curses. Very prolific. So it's like everyone's been expecting the next thing, and they're building on that sort of pop sensibility and wondering whether this is going to be the point where they sort of break through.
They are kind of quite out there for pop still.
They're very out there. They've been described as loads of things, psych rock and post rock and all that sort of thing. But one of the things they do is they mess around with composition structures and loops and all sorts of gadgetries. They're really into field recordings. They go out and literally record the sounds of the earth. And that's one of the things that features on the new album. And it's kind of an obsession of theirs. They've got these very watery effects all over it. So I wanted to know whether watery noises on the new album were a connection to the title of their last EP, which was called Water Curses, or whether it was just a running theme of theirs.
It's kind of more of a theme of this record than it was the last record. I think the EP, we titled it Water Curses just because of a few strange things happened to us in the studio. Like some water spilled. Water was often spilling all over the place, and we'd had to clean it up and stuff, so we were cursed by water. I think this connection to water, this record, has more to do with nature and kind of is tied into the sound of the record a little bit more than Water Curses was.
There are some water sounds, like liquidy sounds, on Water Curses, but they were kind of added in after we came up with the title.
How you created those sounds?
Some of them are samples from other recordings people make. And pretty much all of them probably for those are.
There's that one, the tape cassette of yours.
Oh, yeah.
There's some.
I put a microphone in a plastic bag and put it underwater. in waves.
And that works?
Yeah.
And what was the inspiration for the title of this album? Because I know that it's a venue in Maryland. Is it sort of harking back to the early days?
Sort of. It kind of harks back to our youth or growing up in Maryland and the idea of listening to music outside back then and even now, you know, and just the songs as kind of these musical environments that somehow capture the feeling of different seasons or different weather patterns, you know, just anything that reminds us kind of being outside or different, you know, environments you could hear. Originally, we were thinking of titles that would have something to do with weather or seasons, and nothing really fit the bill. And then we were having a conversation one night about Terry Riley playing a long overnight performance outside, and one of us just said, oh, it'd be awesome to see a show like that at Meriwether Post Pavilion, which is a venue in Maryland. And we were just like, oh, there's a good record title.
How do you keep together as a collective when you're all doing different things and living in different continents? Is it just because you're incredibly good friends and you've known each other for a long time?
pretty much. We don't have that many other friends.
No, well, none that complain.
I don't know. It's just kind of what we do. We're used to it.
It's not counterproductive sometimes being so close to people that you have to...
Well, it can be, but I think that's why the distance, you know, when we're not working on music, being so separated from each other helps us, you know, remain kind of excited to see each other when we're working, so...
I know that you had a sort of side project with Vashti Bunyan a while back. Those kind of collaborations and when people go off and do their own thing, are they, do you think they're kind of essential to being able to always come back and do new things?
Yeah, I think time away from doing this for everyone definitely informs the band and kind of just keeps us all inspired to keep working together. And we're all good at this point of putting our foot down at a certain point and being like, enough's enough, you know, I need a break. And then the rest of us are just like, yeah, all right, you're right, let's do something else. And then that's what causes the change. I think a lot of Josh, for example, taking a break from playing, it kind of pushed us to, you know, figure out a new way of making these new songs and writing this record.
It doesn't really matter how good the way you feel. Home for the breeze, get a midnight meal. I'm on in the windows, you point out the pubs. Rip off your sleeves and I'll ditch my socks. We'll dance to the songs from the cars of their bass. We to the cardboard, smell that trash. Walking around in our summertime blues.
How do you find touring in general? Is it at all helpful to the creative process? Or well,
there's good and bad points. Like, we play the songs live usually for a while before we record them, so that definitely gets us ready to go into the studio with them. And there's a thing about touring that you can't really replace doing anything else musically. Mm. You know, being in front of a crowd and playing a good show is awesome, but for all of us, I think there's kind of a negative side to touring, you know.
It's so more personal stuff. Yeah. You know, we all have ladies at home and just, you know, being transient or something, or just always being in motion sometimes can wear on you.
I read, although I didn't actually know until recently, that the album was actually leaked on Christmas Day. Is that true? Was it you guys that did it? No?
There's a certain amount of kind of like hype, kind of like tactics that goes along with that. We just want to make the music.
Why did you say that you would prefer the album to be leaked in full after a couple of the tracks made their way onto blogs?
We didn't say that.
Oh, you didn't?
I did. You know, I don't like really think it's worth your energy to fight the leaking thing any more than like what we already try and do, which is, you know, like ask a journalist not to do it. But I also don't think it's worth joining for me, you know. And the instance this time with that rumor going around was a hoax, like someone pretending to be me, like contacting journalists and expressing that opinion.
Just sending an email or via...
Creating, either hacking into our email and sending it out.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, I think it crossed a line because it pretending to be me is not cool, but and speaking for me, but, you know, it's, at least they were trying to be productive. Like, you can't fault someone for being excited.
Well, my final question is just how far you are into the next thing. I feel like it's a constantly evolving process with you.
We definitely won't get started on that until at least the end of the summer, probably.
For the next, like, live stuff, we've actually been, the next, like, release project we're hoping to do, we've started working on even before we started working on this record, even before we recorded Strawberry Jam, which is this DVD, like a visual kind of film project we're doing with our friend. And it'll be like a record, but like you're watching and listening to a record at the same time, you know? I think we're close to the home stretch on that one in terms of finishing it.
That was Panda Bear, Avatar and Geologist from Animal Collective, and Merryweather Post Pavilion is out now.
Not to be confused, of course, with Daniel Merriweather Does Merillion, which is coming out later in the year. Anyway, now is the hour of Singles Club, the point in the pod where we take new music, one of us recommends it, and the rest raise an eyebrow and go, are you sure? Joining Rosie and I for a good old reviewing this week is Sarah Bowden from the estimable Observer Music Monthly. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Paul.
Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, I'm glad to hear that. Now, I saw Dizzy Rascal coming in to see you the other day.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. We don't have that. People don't, pop stars don't just pop in for a chin wag.
It was very cool, and he was sort of very amiable. He takes three sugars in his tea.
Is that like against the rules of the British Health Association or something?
It might explain why he's got so much energy in some of his... And he came in to play us an album by a band on his label called New Generals, and it was very exciting. He took us out to his car to listen to it.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So is this then Dirty Stank, his label then?
Dirty Stank, that's right, yeah.
So he sees himself as a baby mogul now.
That's right, yeah. It's quite odd because he's not always particularly enthusiastic about doing his own press. So we were quite impressed that he wanted to come in and play it to us.
I suppose when you're a businessman, you gotcha. Anyway, let's get on to the reviewing. We're going to start with Fever Ray. And this is called If I Had a Heart. That's If I Had a Heart by Fever Ray. Fever Ray is the new solo project from Karin Dreyer, one half of spooky Swedish synth siblings, The Knife. The Knife, famous for their album Silent Shout, very rarely make public appearances and are usually in disguise when they do so. Dreyer has kept up this tradition with Fever Ray by trussing herself up as a skeleton in the video for this song. If all this sounds a little creepy to you, bear in mind that The Knife's Heartbeats was famously covered by Jose Gonzalez and featured in a Sony ad with loads of nice, colourful, bouncy balls. Rosie,
yes.
This is your track.
Yes, it is.
Have you joined some sinister death cult or something over
no,
Christmas?
No, I have not. But this is very spooky and kind of intense, but not as intense and spooky as most of The Knife stuff. The Knife being one of the best bands in the world ever. It's part of her new album, which you can hear and buy now, although the physical copy isn't out until March, at clicktrack.com, and that's click with a K. If you go and listen to it, I was kind of, first of all, I thought, well, why has she done this on her own? Because it does sound exactly like anything that you would hear from The Knife, except as you get in more into it, it actually feels a bit more feminine. Those Teutonic intense bursts and the really unnerving stuff that they do isn't really present in it. I just think she's fantastic. I think she's a really interesting woman. They're a really interesting band. She's got a lot to say in her own way, and I'm looking forward to the reaction this is going to get.
I mean, it's certainly not something I can think of anybody else currently making, certainly not the tempo. Sarah, what do you think?
I'm a big fan of sort of doomy gothic music, so I love this. It's got a real sort of shamanic, mesmeric quality. It kind of really lulls you into her headspace. And the video for it's absolutely amazing. It's just like a really dark dream you have of like a hooded boatman and strange creatures and in swampy sort of surroundings.
That's interesting because it made me think of a hooded monk. Hoods are obviously a recurring man. Maybe they've programmed it in a particular way. And so, Rosie, you'd say that the rest of the album is on a similar.
Yeah, line. It's kind of tempo wise, it's quite laid back. You know, I mean, you're used to some really heavy going percussion from The Knife, and that's not really there. But vocal wise and lyric wise, it's kind of anything. If you're a Knife fan, I think you'll probably be into it.
Okay, cool. Well, If I Had a Heart by Fever Ray is available digitally now. Second track on Singles Club, it's Ulysses by Franz Ferdinand. My Ulysses, my Ulysses, no, but you are now, boy. So sinister, but last night was wild. What's the matter there? Feeling kind of anxious, that hot blood grew cold. Yeah, everyone, everybody knows it. Yeah, everyone, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. That's Franz Ferdinand with Ulysses. This is the lead single from the third album from noted food writer Alex Kapranos and co. The band have been touring material from Tonight with Franz Ferdinand for some months now and are famous for claiming they make music to get girls dancing. So if you are a girl who has bought a fan's record and find yourself unable to jig, return it with your receipt to Acre Pranos, Ferdinand Towers, Glasgow. This is my choice and I present it for the following reasons. I like the whispery vocals. They are, I think, sexy. I like the rhythm, syncopated as it is, the minimal bass line and the filter on the guitars. They are, I believe, funky. The thing is, though, I also think the chorus is distinctly underwhelming and sounds like a lot of previous Franz. So while the verse and the lyrics have stuck in my head and I've been earworming it all week, I would ask them that they release the song without the chorus. Rosie.
I never like Franz Ferdinand choruses. It's just like, oh, God, here we go again, the bit where everyone gets to chant. I do like this song. I actually think it's great. It's incredibly Talking Heads, Remain in Light era. But the thing is, they do that really well. They do it probably better than anyone else around. And there's no fat there at all on this. I mean, obviously, regardless of how we feel about the chorus, the riff, when it builds, when the guitar riff builds, it's done really perfectly and it's really minimal, and they just do it really, really well. It's very derivative and it's not, you know, it's not in a totally new direction from anything they've done before, but they do it very well.
Mm. I mean, I wouldn't say it was a totally new direction, but I would say it's fresh for them. Mm. I think you're right. I think it's almost like it sounds like they've built it up and then stripped it back down again just to the bare components. Sarah?
I was a wee bit disappointed with it, to be honest, just because they've spent a long time away and they've been working with they tried and failed to work with Xenomania, so it suggested that they might go in a more interesting pop direction. But it just, I think it is the chorus again. It makes it just sound a bit Franz by numbers, and they've kind of really struggled.
And also just a bit laddie as well. That kind of whole la 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 la.
It's like they do that to keep everyone's attention. And you know, when I was at university, it was after Take Me Out came out, and it would come on the student union, and all the lads, you know, it's just so opposite from the kind of art rock band that they actually are. Mm.
I think, actually, I had an album, and I don't know if you've heard of this band, called The Phantom Band, who are also from Glasgow, and their album's really fantastic and really varied, and it sounds to my ears like the album that Franz might have wanted to make. So it's on Chemical Underground. I highly recommend that you'd go and check it.
Nice one. Good tip. So not so much music to make girls dance as music to make blokes jeer. Ulysses by Franz Ferdinand is out on January the 19th. Final track on Singles Club, it's Yonard by Hudson Mohawk. That's Hudson Mohawk with Yonard. The Mohawk were a tribe of indigenous Indians who protected the Iroquois nation from invasion from the east. In the end, the Brits invaded from the west, up the Hudson River. 22-year-old Glaswegian Hudson Mohawk makes music that he says requires him to sit down, get fucked up, and hope for the best. So the parallels between the two are clear. Mohawk is on Warp Records and is at the forefront of a movement the critics are calling wonky, but Mohawk himself prefers to call polyfolk. What? Sarah?
I think he is, he's desperate not to be categorised, hence he's trying to come up with all these different
each
terms.
Each interview a different genre.
Yeah. His response to being called wonky, I think, was some sort of swear word of a similar sounding. he's just a really interesting character. Most of the stuff he's put out is entirely different to what he's done already. A few years ago, he did this remix of loads of R&B songs, one in particular, Oops by Tweet. It's just like one of the most filthy, like amazing dance floor tracks you'll hear. And I like this. I just like the weird noises on it. I think this track is the oddest The others have, there's maybe, I think, five tracks on it. The others are slightly more accessible. But it does have a touch of the Fortets about it, though.
Oh. It also
touch of the Fortets.
I found it completely impenetrable on first listen. Fifth listen, sixth listen, just about kind of being able to hear something in it that I can move in time with. Rosie.
To me, it reminded me of Flying Lotus, who I don't particularly like. And it's, on first or second listen to it, and not having really been exposed to his music before, I felt as though it was one of those examples of, sampling and chopping up and playing around with beats. And it's obviously got, mixing sort of techno effects and hip hop beats that's kind of as interesting as it is. In that's it. It's like, oh, look, someone's doing something slightly different. That was about it. But that I didn't know any of the things, I don't know any of his remixes particularly. I didn't know that any of it about him. It sounds to me like he's a producer rather than an artist. So when he gets behind producing that stuff, then it's all right. But when you're listening to a song as a single entity, it didn't really capture it for me.
One of the best nights out I had last year was Warp Record Showcase, where Hudson Mohawk and his pal Rusty were playing, and it was a lot more accessible than they were taking. They were taking these hip hop tunes and these hip hop beats and just messing with them and running through however many kind of filters they could, and it just came back sounding fresh and vibrant, but still highly danceable. And that's why I was quite struck by this. And I was wondering whether, if I listened to it another 25 times, whether I'd actually end up kind of jigging around right in time. It's just one of those things that in 2 years' time I'm going to go, well, that was really ahead of its time, or whether it is just inaccessible nonsense. I can't really tell.
I think it's probably slightly symptomatic of the fact that I've been just listening to lots of weird minimal techno records over Christmas. Gotten really obsessed with like small particular sounds on records.
I think it's something that feels like it needs to be a bit more physical, like you were saying, like a live show or something, and listening to it on a MySpace or a CD is maybe a little bit static.
And you want your ribcage to be rattling, don't you?
Take your word for it, Bowden.
Yeah. Forget the live show. It sounds like you need to go around the Bowden's household at Christmas time if you really want to have the party.
My mum was loving it.
I bet she was. That track, which is Yonard, came from the Polyfolk EP, and that's available to download now. But it's on Bleep, I think, right now. But it's also on physical sale on Warp Records on January the 26th. We want your reviews of this week's tracks. That's Hudson Mohawk, Franz Ferdinand and Fever Ray on our blog at guardian.co.uk/music/music blog. Right, thanks to Sarah Bowden for coming in to join us on Singles Club today. Sarah, thank you.
That's okay.
Really, I write that bit on the script, you see, so I don't mean it sincerely. This is from me to you. Thanks. What's coming up in the mag? Because it's the mag on Sunday. There's a big Bruce thing.
The magazine on Sunday, the boss is on the cover. There's a guy called Mark Hagen, who's a sort of a BBC producer and has gotten to know him very well. And he got a private audience with the boss at home in New Jersey. And it's a really interesting piece talking about the new album, which oddly, given the political upheaval at the moment, is a kind of a more personal record for him. Also, we have got Casper, the editor, went to Nigeria for the MTV's first ever African Music Awards.
Oh, really?
Yes.
did Two-Face clean up?
All I know is I think there was a bit of controversy, actually. Whoever was expected to be the big winner didn't. There's the usual MTV type fighting over awards. Also, we've got profiles of our tips for next year, bands that we like.
And you can also see quite a lot of the videos of those acts right now on the website. And also, let's not forget, there's a free download of Bruce Springsteen that's going live on the website Saturday the 17th and will be available for a few days after, I presume. Yep. But thanks again, Sarah. Great to have you. Hope to see you soon. That's it for this week's Singles Club, but don't forget there's the texticular version available each Wednesday on guardian.co.uk/music, and you can watch all the videos and that too. All right, next on Music Weekly, we are entering Virgin territory.
Come on, baby, we get along. Please don't you spoil it, don't steer us wrong. No, give me just 1 week of danger at a time. Loving isn't easy, but it sure is fun. Give me just 1 week of danger at a time.
Parker. That's One Week of Danger by The Virgins, our second guest today. They're bouncing around in some of this year's Hot Tips lists, but I saw the band first last year at South by Southwest and rather liked them. They're not really going to reinvent the wheel, but they do have an ear for a hook and are self-admitted makers of party music, which is where we began our chat. What is a party with The Virgins like?
A lot of complaining.
We used to make our demos and just take them straight to nightclubs and ask people to play them. Because that was the fastest way. We would be like, that song sucks, because people would just leave. Or we'd be like, oh, this one's kind of good, but maybe we should change this or maybe we should change that. And that had a lot to do with how we wrote the demos.
Which were the songs that kind of resonated the most at that period? Are they like Witch Girls? Are they the ones that kind of are your key part of your repertoire now?
Yeah, basically.
I remember an early version of Love is Colder Than Death, and I remember we tried it out at Lit to like an empty room. Remember we went there with Jason and we're like,
oh, yeah,
just throw this on and just hear it. And we were like, okay, like we got to take out that end. The end is terrible.
Totally. But
the B section works. Like we got to, and then we went right back to the studio and just finished, like fixed it. That's really fun.
What I think is, you know, really great about the stuff that you've done so far is the way you have with a hook.
Oh,
and
thanks,
you know, that's really kind of consistent over a lot of your tunes.
We try to make good hooks because we like good hooks, or what we consider to be good hooks.
Basically, we just fuss with them until we like them, you know. And that usually ends up we're all kind of fans of traditional song structure and like the ways that a song can kind of change directions or tell a story. And
yeah, I mean, who for you are the hook masters? Who are the people you listen to and think, well, that's
the Stones?
Yeah, the Rolling Stones. I'm still so surprised at every time I listen to them. I just think, Jesus, these guys are so smart.
Yeah,
the Rolling Stones are so famous for all the trimmings, but you know, the songs are so good.
It's easy when it hurts, so say goodbye, we'll fall in love again. Just give it time, it's easy when it hurts.
The Beatles for me personally is just like a bunch of dudes making children's music at like a really specific time. That was beautiful and amazing and like really ahead of its time and like totally like opened up everybody's eyes. But it's like, you know, when I was six and I first heard Raffi, I was like, wow, like there could be a dragon who lives by the sea.
Don't let your love be colder than death.
In New York, Brooklyn, the extension, there is a kind of, you know, perhaps the most vibrant music scene in the world right now. But does that enthusiasm, that scene, does that carry over into America at large when you go out there?
Yeah, I think so. You don't think so?
You said no.
I mean, I think like for the most part, the stuff that happens in New York is always kind of isolated, and like every city in New York in America has sort of their own thing, and it's always been like that.
At one point, it seemed like everybody in America came to New York. And yeah. When that happened, there definitely was like a unification of like a hipster aesthetic that sort of was New York City. And now that has finally dissipated, thank God. And people are kind of like getting back to being individuals.
Tell us about the new album and what you're most excited about.
We took a sample from King of New York.
Room service, motherfuckers!
Don't let a good night's fun come to an early end.
We asked the label, like, could you please clear us the sample? And they were like, clear a sample? It's unheard of. It can't be done. And we were like, yo, first of all, like, okay, Missy Elliott, T.I., like, they're all on this label. So, like, what are you really telling me? They're like, well, it's just really hard to get movies. They're like, no, dude, like, we want it. Cut to like 6 months later. We just can't find anyone. We can't do it. So I had to find Abel Ferrara, the guy who directed King of New York. He wrote me a handwritten note, this scrap of paper with blotches and splotches. It was just like, I decree with that hereby being like the sole owner of all rights pertaining to King of New York in perpetuity and for throughout the universe and forever. Like just like, you know, completely.
I have actually sold my soul to Satan.
Exactly,
so
right.
This may not stand.
And then on the end, to Donald coming for his album, and then I brought it into the label and was like, if you won't let us put this sample on a record now, then, you know.
That's Donald, Nick, and Wade of The Virgins. Wade was the quiet one. Their album will be coming out in April, and the single Teen Lovers is out on February the 19th. We'll also have an exclusive acoustic performance of their song Rich Girls at the end of this very show. Right, onto what we like to call our face backery. We had some very nice stuff on the blog regarding our preview of 2009 show. Lots of people actually, for a start, looking forward to Animal Collective. Giuseppe 8 said, best musical event of 2009, Animal Collective's new offering in mid-Jan. Can't wait. We'll be interested to hear, Giuseppe, what you have to say on this week's interview. Joseph Galen said, firstly, I've listened for the first time ever. Great. Really enjoyed it. Secondly, I was listening in the bath via my laptop, running the risk of electrocution. We don't advise that, Rosie. We don't advise that at all. Fourthly, I'm skipping one. And finally, I wanted to comment on the woes of the major record companies and the relative joys of the smaller ones. Though some of the larger indie labels put out amazing stuff, Domino, for example, there are, as you say, many gems hidden in the catalogues of the smaller labels. I find those less satisfactory, mainly because it can be hard to locate stuff that you actually want to listen to. It's unfortunate that most of the labels achieve the majority of their listens through MySpace, and these tend to be fleeting.
No, the Ledge says, I've been listening to the show for a while now, and I think it manages to be both fulfilling and entertaining, essentially worthwhile. So two thumbs fresh. Anyway, I may have missed the boat on this a little bit, but I thought a sadly overlooked record of 2008 was David Byrne and Brian Eno's Everything That Happens Will Happen Today.
You like that one?
Yes, I did, actually.
Yeah, no, I got good play in the Word magazine, I remember. But maybe that's not quite the same thing as a Music Weekly audience. Who knows? Finally, talking about all the tips we made in that show, Alexis, Tim, Rosie and I, which included Band The Invisible and also LaRue, Trizza wrote, loving all the aforementioned names LaRue et al, but how many months or years of this before we all scoff at it? Kooks-like.
And in response to him, Barry Beatmaster said, under full implementation of the new music business model, Music 2.0, I'd wager we can get the Hot Tips forget-by-date period down to 4 weeks.
Well done, Barry. You may just be proved right there. Okay, well, Rosie, like Rafe Finds in the Desert, you've been a constant gardener recently, maintaining our Facebook page.
Indeed, I have.
And you got something of an avalanche of responses recently.
It's the 50th anniversary of Motown, so we had a little bit of stuff about it on the website, so I thought I'd invite our Facebook readers to nominate their favourite Motown track, and it went a bit crazy. Dean Driscoll nominated Martha and the Vandellas' Heatwave, which got a few dons, saying it's not just the best Motown track, it's the best track, full stop. Alice Weigard agreed that the Temptations got their share of nods. Scott Cowser said the band's song Get Ready is the best, while Jono Podmore nominated their song Zoom, and the Temptations' Just My Imagination got a vote from Jonathan Leahy Maharaj and Donna Robertson, but honourable mention goes to Marvin Gaye for Heard It Through the Grapevine and Let's Get It On. But no, not that much Smokey.
I was going to say, no Tears of a Clown. I mean, that is... That
I think
is...
there was one nomination for Tears of a Clown, but I would say not enough of the rest of the...
The rest of the Smokey catalogue, yeah. Come Tears on. Of a Clown is definitely something that brings tears to your eyes and is a right old stomper at the same time. A rare, rare combination indeed. Thank you, Rosie. Don't forget, you can post comments on this week's show on the blog. Tell us what you made of Animal Collective and The Virgins if you like the address. As before, is guardian.co.uk/music/music blog. Or hit us up on Facebook. Now, if you type Music Weekly into Facebook, you'll find our fan page. Or you can become our friend by typing in Guardian Unlimited, no space. It's the old branding, baby. Guardian Unlimited, no space. Space music, and that's where we do the status stuff, and you can kind of play with us during the week, so to speak. Okay, that's pretty much it for this week. Rosie, 100 shows, what,
Where's the time gone?
Where's the time gone? Who'd have thought we'd have got this far? Quickly, highlight?
I'm going to be a bit predictable and say going all the way to Louth to interview Robert Wyatt was fantastic, but also what springs to mind is meeting Steve Mason and having a very nice interview with him, because I'm a big Beta Band fan, so it's always nice to meet someone who you really like and they turn out to be nice.
Yeah, and he was also very interesting, as I recall. That was back when we were allowed to sit in the same studio as the artist,
which reminds us
the worst thing. Yeah, it falls to me to kind of recollect the worst thing of all, which was undoubtedly the first show we ever did, where our guest was Just Jack. Remember him? Remember him? You probably don't. He I can't even remember the name. What was it? Stars.
I thought you were drawing a certain object on the script.
No, no way. No objects. Just a violent gesture with a pen. But was it kind of Stars in Their Eyes was his one hit wonder. And he came in with like an entourage of 20.
Yeah.
Had an attitude that might be kind of appropriate for Napoleon. And just stropped his way through his 20 minutes with us. It was thoroughly, it just made us feel so insecure and nervous. It was.
And
he's
charmed his way to the top, hasn't he? Look at him go.
He just kept going and going. So Just Whack, if you ever want to come back and see us again, you'd be more than welcome. Okay, you're like, we'll be back next week from Friday. You register now to get the podcast sent straight to your computer or MP3 player for free. You can find out how at guardian.co.uk/music. Thanks again to Rosie and Sarah, and we'll leave you with Donald Virgin and his exclusive acoustic version of Rich Girls. Bye-bye.
Hello, Guardian Weekly Music listeners. This is Donald from the Virgins, and I'm going to be playing a song called Rich Girls. Tell me why you're so stuck up and act so down. I tell you everything I know and the little thing I know. I tell you everything I know and the little thing I know. Lovely way with words, but the way you see the world is the way you see the world. And you got to know, you got to know. We walk around pretending we're all grown up. Well, can you tell me why you're so stuck up and act so down? I tell you everything I know and the little thing I know. I tell you everything I know and the little thing I know. Got a lovely way with words. Is that the way you see the world? It's just the way you see the world. You got to know. You got to know. I went down to your house last weekend. Was like, come on man, you have to point out everything that's bad. So there's a broken mirror on my bed. I clean that up, so what? Nah, you don't have to be such a asshole all the time. Don't be like that, she said.